Views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll be able to keep with us here and perhaps even join in the conversation this afternoon. You can give us a call with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's go ahead and open with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this afternoon. We do pray that you would bless, use the program for your glory, help us to point people to Christ through it. And Lord, just think of the truth of God's word and the freedom that we can have in Christ. We worry about things happening in the world around us, but we can have peace that passes understanding if we'll simply put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and then allow you to continue to guide and direct us as a believer in the course of our life. Bless the program today. Use it for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, certainly it is that time of year, people graduating from high school last weekend, not this past weekend, but a weekend before that, went to one graduation party, and couple of weeks got another graduation party to go to, and probably many of you are going to graduation parties and hosting parties for graduates and going to graduation ceremonies and all that sort of thing. But this is something that comes up every year about this time, dealing with the graduations, and I thought I would chat about a little bit here today as we get started. And this is the idea of the infringement that believers have on their free speech. And let me go back to the book of Acts here this afternoon, and let me get my page, had my page flipped over here, Acts chapter 5, and a good incident is recorded for us here that's germane to what I want to talk about here today. In Acts chapter 5, we have a scene here where the Peter and the apostles have been preaching and witnessing, telling people that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, and that he had died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for their sins, and that he had been buried and rose again victorious over sin and death, the same message that we preach today in our church, and hopefully they're preaching in your church and should be preaching in every genuine church. But when the religious leaders and authorities of the day heard what was going on, they were upset. The reason in Acts chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women." And you can right away be assured that where God's word is going forth and people are trusting Christ as their Savior, the devil's going to raise up opposition. And certainly he did so here. The Bible says in verse 17, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation." Ever notice how oftentimes people under the guise of religion, people under the guise of being members of the clergy, sometimes are some of the most active in being upset when people such as myself and other Bible-believing Christians try to proclaim the simple truth of the gospel. But here he is. High priest rose up, other Sadducees that were with him. They were filled with indignation. They laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. And the Bible goes on to say, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.'" And so that's what happened. They went into the temple. They began preaching and teaching, doing what God had told them to do. After all, Jesus had given them the Great Commission to go into all the world, preach the gospel. That's just exactly what they were doing, starting right there in Jerusalem. And priests and everything came together, the high priest and all came the next day into the temple, and they were, or their council came together in the Senate of the Children of Israel in verse 21 there, and they wanted to bring Peter and the other apostles before them and to try them, and they sent the officers to the prison, and guess what? They weren't there because God had set them free, and they were busy preaching the word of God. And in verse 24, it says, "Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men which he put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." See, Peter and the other apostles, they didn't run away and hide. They were actively doing exactly what God had sent them to do, boldly preaching the word of God. The Bible says in verse 26, "Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned." Well, you know, this is a good thought there, and I'm not going to spend time on it right now. It's good when the government fears the people. And the government officials here, the captain and the officers of the guard, they feared the people. Our government in the United States of America, if you study the writings, the Federalist Papers and the other Anti-Federalist Papers and the other writings of the time when our Constitution was being put together in the desire for checks and balances, our founding fathers wanted a government that really was held in check by the people, not the other way around. The government should fear the people. It shouldn't be the other way around. When people fear the government, there's a problem. And so, at any rate, it says, "And when they had brought them," meaning Peter and the apostles, "they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them," verse 28, "saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men." Now, as Christians, yes, we are supposed to be law-abiding until such time as man's law crosses the line and begins to contradict God's law. And when man's law contradicts God's law, that's where we come down to what Peter said to the high priest, and the other apostles agreed with Peter, where they said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." A very similar sentiment in chapter 4, Acts chapter 4 and verse 19, where it says, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And we need Christians that have that kind of zeal, that kind of determination, that kind of boldness, that they'll say, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And I want to give an example of a young man who exhibited some of that boldness, and he took a stand for what he believed. This happened in South Carolina at the Pickens County School District, what happened was the valedictorian, a man by the name of Roy Costner, of Liberty High School in the Pickens County School District there in South Carolina, he had to have a pre-approved speech as valedictorian. They had the speech written, and as he was in front of the gathering at the graduation ceremony, it appears that Roy Costner, this valedictorian, as he stood up, the school district had basically said that they could no longer include prayer at graduation ceremonies. Let me just pause there for just a minute. In the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, and amendment number 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 1 is one long sentence. And what that really tells us grammatically is that the idea that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, then all of this about abridging the freedom of speech, the press, the right of people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances, all of that is tied in with the freedom of religion. Now, notice it didn't say freedom from religion, freedom of religion. That's important here. The school district government agency said that they could no longer pray. And that was because they had been targeted with a barrage of complaints by atheist groups. Well, Roy Costner, this young man, as the valedictorian there at Liberty High School graduation ceremony, in front of the gathering, he tore up his graduation speech in front of everybody. And then he began to talk about his Christian upbringing. And he said, those that we look up to, they have helped carve and mold us into the young adults that we are today. I'm so glad that both of my parents led me to the Lord at a young age. And he basically, what he did is he gave his testimony. And as a valedictorian, he was telling people, this is how I come to be before you today as a valedictorian. He talked about his Christian upbringing, his godly parents that shared the gospel with him, led him to the Lord at a young age, how that had influenced and molded his life, and others in his life had molded his life, and how God had shaped his life. And now, what is wrong with that? Where is that forcing somebody to become a Christian? Where is that impinging upon the rights of an atheist who rejects those sorts of things? No, he's simply telling his experience. You know, as Christians, we call that our testimony, what God has done for us. And then he said, I think most of you will understand when I say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And as he began to recite what we call the Lord's Prayer, the auditorium began to erupt with applause and cheers. And as he continued, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The whole place was cheering. Now, to their credit, the Pickens County School District spokesman, John Ebby, said that they were not going to take any disciplinary action against them, and I kind of think he was secretly for it because it said the bottom line is we're not going to punish students for expressing their religious faith. He's a graduate now. There's nothing we can do about it, even if we wanted to. And I applaud this young man, Roy Costner, there at his graduation, willingly being able to stand for what he believed in. Now, let me contrast that to another situation here in Lincoln County High School in Kentucky. There's an atheist student there, and he was exceedingly upset and expressed his discontent and his threat to sue because they had a student-led prayer during graduation ceremony. And the class president, Jonathan Hardwick, of the class of 2013, had a prayer. It lasted about a minute, and included in the prayer was a statement, thank you for helping us to get here safely today, Lord, and thank you for the many blessings you have given us. And this other student, Ricky Smith, said the prayer was uncomfortable and possibly illegal. And even though he left the graduation ceremony during the prayer time, he said he felt intimidated by the brief prayer. And I got some advice for young Mr. Smith there. Grow up. Get a life. There's a lot of things in this world that are going to make us uncomfortable. A lot of things in this life we're not going to agree with. I remember going to a Memorial Day ceremony at Richfield, where I live, and standing there with the other veterans there as this woman led a prayer to Mother God. Now, I didn't like that. It made me uncomfortable to hear this woman pray to Mother God and basically say a few other things that were not just sacrilegious, but certainly heretical and contrary to the scriptures. But I didn't feel intimidated by her. I didn't like it. But you know what? I've been told all my life that as a Christian, if I don't like something, I just need to develop a thicker skin. And that's what certainly the secularists and the atheists have told us. You know, if you don't like something, the things that are on television, turn the channel. If you don't like what's on the radio, change the station. But when a Christian comes out and stands for the Word of God, it's unconscionable. It's a violation of free speech. It's a violation of the First Amendment. We can't have this. And that's why we see this in all sorts of areas. Even the Department of Justice is now trying to claim that if you say anything that's considered mean or derogatory about Islam, you should be prosecuted for it. Notice I said prosecuted. This is something that comes really straight out of Sharia law. You know, the idea that you can't say anything offensive against Islam. Well, we'll talk about some more of these things. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we have Danielle calling in. And Danielle, welcome to the program.
Hello, Pastor Al. God bless you. Good
afternoon.
I have two questions.
Yes.
One is the rise of Islam and America's hand and all Americans' hands involved in that, and the petroleum and the addiction to gasoline, and how
right.
They wouldn't have the power they had if we didn't keep paying our tithes to them at the gas pump. My second comment is that the sanctity of the name of God and how important it is that when we pray, we should mention his name, specifically Jehovah. And I think I use the Old King James Testament, or Old King James, and in the Psalms, for instance, everywhere where the term the Lord is used, and the Lord is in capital letters,
right.
That literally is the name of Jehovah. And a psalm that really reflects that, that his name is in virtually every verse is Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from Jehovah, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Jehovah is thy keeper. Jehovah is thy shade upon thy right hand. Sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Jehovah shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Jehovah shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. And my concern is that why is not the name of Jehovah more lifted up in the Christian vocabulary to its rightful place? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you for your call. And let me address the last one first. The name Jehovah actually is one of the names of God in the Bible. We have Jehovah, Adonai, Elohim, and others. And there's also a lot of pronunciation of the letters that give us Jehovah as Yahweh and things of that nature. And the name of God is to be lifted up, and in fact, one of the Ten Commandments certainly is not to use the name of the Lord in vain. And you hear people using God's name, and when we see God in the Bible with a capital G or Lord with a capital L, we're talking about Jehovah God and the Creator. But people will refer to him cavalierly, and they'll use him as a byword and things like that. But even more than God's name, Psalm 138 in verse 2, We read, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And even God's word here is important, because God's word is truth. We're sanctified people by truth, and God's word is truth. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And of course, Jesus Christ is a name that God took when he was manifest as a man. And but the Bible tells us that just knowing God's name is not enough. We've got to know his word. We've got to know what that name stands for. And so, yeah, we need to lift up the mighty name of God. And Jehovah is a good name, and certainly it ought to be magnified. But God's word should be even magnified above all of his name. So that's an important thing. So I appreciate bringing that out. The other thing with the gasoline, oil, and Muslims and all, and as I was talking about the Department of Justice wanting to have us be prosecuted. You know, a couple of Department of Justice officials speculating we should be prosecuted for defaming Islam, basically. And that's straight out of the Islamic handbook, the Sharia handbook there. And the reason that we have the problem with Islam today, a lot of it has to do with our addiction to oil, and there's a certain amount of truth to that, but that could be broken if we were allowed to develop the oil and gas and coal reserves that God has blessed this country with. I have personally stood in the oil shale fields out in Colorado and held the oil shale where you can actually take a match and you can light it. The oil in the shale wicks out. Now, at the time that I was there, they had to strip mine to get it, crush it, and steam out the oil, and it was an expensive process that had a great deal of impact. Today, they can build they can mine it with shafts that go in and fracture the shale formation, and then pump in superheated steam and some other processes where they can pull the oil out much cheaper and much more environmentally friendly. But the government restricts that. We have that oil pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline, that could bring a lot of oil out of Canada. We could be independent of Middle Eastern oil. If we wanted to, we could be energy independent in this country if we wanted to. This past week, I was down through Noble County and some areas down there where the natural gas and oil fields are booming. And Guernsey County, which used to be one of the poorest counties in Ohio, is prospering greatly because of that. And the government is trying to shut that down. And it's almost as if we have a government that does not want us to be energy independent, but wants to keep this money flowing into the hands of the Middle East. People say, well, oil is a fungible commodity. It doesn't matter where we get it from. Somebody's going to be paying for the Middle East. That is true. But the more oil you put into the market, into the world market, the cheaper oil will be overall, and the less money will flow into the Middle East. When communism was the enemy during the Cold War, the Muslims were really kept under control. It wasn't that big of an issue. When the Soviet Union fell, the Cold War was over. I told my wife the next big thing we would have to deal with is Islam, fundamentalist Islam. And it has prospered since the fall of communism, or I should say the Cold War, and communism still out there in the world, China, Cuba, other places, of course, but it's not the threat that it was 50 years ago. And there's a lot of things that we could do, but unfortunately, we have an administration, and the administration before ours also did a lot that allowed the Islamists to gain money. And so flush with all this oil money, Saudi Arabia, for instance, controls 80% or more of the mosques in North America. And they are pumping in Islamic teachings. It's not the peaceful Islam, it's fundamentalist Islam that they would like to export as well. And they are doing so. As Christians, we need to be active. We need to stand for the truth. As Jeremiah 1:8 says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. We need to take a stand for Jesus Christ and proclaim the name of God and tell people that they need to be saved. Even Muslims need to be saved. And when the government says we can't say that Islam's a false religion, a satanic religion, I'm sorry, we ought to obey God rather than men. When somebody says, we need to stop prayer in public schools, I'm sorry, we ought to obey God rather than men. Well, thanks for listening. Join us again next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
You can now listen to AM 1220 The Word on iHeartRadio.
I've been coming to Central Christian School.